to burdened hearts and hungry souls, my Lord would have me go to tell every sinner the love he did bestow. Now I surrender to thy will, and with thy spirit fill my life to tell of Jesus everywhere. Take me and use me, I pray. Save souls who hunger and can't find their way. Take me and use me, my Lord, I pray, to tell of my Redeemer today. Let not your heart be troubled now, for Christ is the way. New life through Him, our Savior, you must accept today. He bids us go to proclaim. Christ died for all who claim His precious name. Take me and use me, I pray. New life today is waiting near for those who seek and pray. Accept our Savior's gift to all, obey His blessed name. Oh, now the door is open wide for all the world to know. New life to share, for God commands we go.
Hello, this is Gerald, your friend on BPN Radio, and welcome back. It's so good to be back here. I hope you've had a great week. I had a week that was filled with a few challenges, but mostly I'm going to count my blessings and just tell the Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. So many things to be thankful for. And even in those challenges, God showed up. He showed up by reminding me through His word that the battle's already been won, and that I need to focus on kingdom issues and kingdom outcomes, his kingdom for his glory, and not necessarily remaining perfect in the eyes of man or in the eyes of officials that have a lot to do with the kind of work that I do. I've realized that I'm not going to please everyone down here while I'm trying to please God. Those are two different targets. I love it when they intersect, and by pleasing God, I'm able to help others. But there are times where I have to make those difficult choices and follow God's will for my life, and that sometimes can be disappointing to others that are focused more on fun, the here and now, and not thinking long range. And I firmly believe that God has long range plans and uses short range goals and objectives too to reach those, but those longer range plans that impact the kingdom of God for generations to come. And maybe it's just my age. Maybe it's hitting that nearing the mid-century mark that has me thinking more of the time where I won't be here to see things through. Today, I wanted to focus our talk on paying attention to our walk with the Lord. I'm now attending a small church plant. Maybe you didn't know that. Breaking news. I am attending a small church plant after having attended a larger church and then about half the size church, and now I'm with a church plant, and my daughter sings at that church plant. She participates and helps with the worship. And I feel that sometimes churches are short of workers because a lot of the folks that attend church, they're not walking in daily reality with the living Lord. They've fallen into American self-centered ways of life. Maybe they just attend church because it meets some of the personal needs, you know, having friends, having a place to go, going because it feels good at that time. But a lot of times, and I'm guilty of this too, I have fallen into this and had to really work on it. Sometimes I feel like if church doesn't meet my needs, I might start shopping around for another church that does meet my needs. I've never stopped going altogether since really committing here at age 27. I've always wanted to find that right place and that right teacher, and then to be part of the body of Christ by serving. But I've had to really catch myself when I find that I'm living for self and then using the church to be self-fulfilled. And the self-fulfillment, I would say, is prideful and not necessarily serving the Lord and serving his people in that church. Sometimes volunteering to serve in the church helps meet a need for me, makes me feel useful. Maybe it makes you feel useful. And then you sign up, and I'll sign up too, and we hit it pretty hard. But if that service has a self-focus, then we're doing it to meet our own needs and not necessarily to glorify God. And I know that's kind of we're splitting hairs here, but I think that's important to address, is that focus ought to be to glorify God and not to pat ourselves on the back and pound our chests and say, oh, look at me. Aren't I great for serving? And I would have to say that I think that the Christian life is not living for self and using God and the church just to meet your self-fulfillment needs, to feel good about yourself. The Christian life involves denying ourselves daily and living under the lordship of Christ. And technically, we're no longer our own. We've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. We're not supposed to live for self or for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again on our behalf. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. As we go along, you know, we're living each day with our hope fixed on the living God, and he should shape our character in conformity to Christ, meaning the longer we serve, the more Christ-like we appear to him and to those around us. And then using that conformity to his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it changes our lives, and it serves as a witness of his saving grace. Others will know him through that. They'll see us change. And we're talking about a 180-degree pivot, a turn, a complete turnaround in our walk when we meet the Lord on our walk, on that very day, and in the days to come. The folks that know us the best ought to see a major change in our goals, in what we're living for, and what we're targeting in our lives. Because before we meet Christ, we're headed down the wrong path. That radical change that comes from knowing our Lord and Savior is evident in the fruit that you bear, in the fruit that I bear, how we conduct ourselves, how we love others, what we listen to, what we say, what we do with our spare time. Folks should be able to see Christ in our daily lives, and that's not easy to do. It takes prayer. It takes time in God's Word. It takes time to really catch ourselves. Maybe we make that list and then hold yourself accountable and, if possible, fellowship with other believers that will serve as loving teachers, and they can judge us in those times where we're asked to, when we say, hey, I've got a problem area, can I confide in you? Will this not become gossip? You engage in that trust with that other believer who, out of love and being a believer, is there for you and won't leave you behind. They see you venture off the path and they go and get you and bring you back and help win you back to the Lord, and forgiveness is there. That's what we're called to do. We're called to go and get our brothers and sisters when we see them wandering off the path. It is really easy to sit there and watch folks that have fallen away and decide, well, I guess they just weren't really part of us. So that's maybe where God wants them to be. I'm not so certain now, and I've felt that in the past. Maybe you have too. But now I'm seeing a different side of maybe at that moment, maybe I'm supposed to chase after that person and reach out in love and remind them that God's going to be there for them the minute they turn around. When we volunteer at church, we're becoming part of the ministry, and we should do that ministry based on dying to self and living to please Jesus. God calls us to Himself. Before I can do something for God, I must be something in relationship with God. And I can only impart to others in ministry what I possess from my walk. So the primary responsibility of every believer is to develop godliness through the daily discipline of a walk with the Lord Jesus. A godly person will find a way through prayer and by encouragement of the Holy Spirit to build up others, and will use words to edify, to grow, and to love them into the faith. And we're going to show them grace. Words of encouragement, words of praise, words of appreciation, showing gratefulness, cheerfulness as well, and showing understanding, being sympathetic, and always using a caring correction and warning. Those are really helpful targets that we should all have. Those are the ways that we can use our words to bless others. So rather than use words that rip into each other or to get angry, we have to have those checkpoints in place to catch ourselves before we slip into that. So we have to touch on purity, and we're talking moral purity and not just showing it outwardly, but just in your thoughts. Walking with Christ means taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. As soon as a wrong thought pops up into our minds, we should confess it and turn from it. And I would just pray that we give thanks to God every day for all that He's done for us, that we reach out to others, and that we continue in our walk and explore His Word daily, and then offer prayers, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of asking for supplication, and that we're able to focus on the job He's had us created to do. Have a blessed week. Take care.
Great. thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not.
Thank you. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Thank you.